Welcome to the Real Estate Investing Club. This is the place everyday real estate investors gather to share their best stories, biggest insights, and favorite tactics to grow a portfolio of cash-flowing properties in today's market. Here's your host, Gabe Peterson.
All right. Welcome back to another episode of the Real Estate Investing Club. Today we have Marius Skoliechny. I think I might have done that well.
That was Marius, very close. That was very close. Congratulations.
Yeah, I had to take a swing. Marius is an ex-appraiser and now in microcap stocks. So this is going to be a little bit of a different episode because we're going to talk something that's not real estate, but we're going to tie it back in because it all comes down to businesses, how they're run, and how you analyze them to figure out whether you want to buy them. And that is what Marius is an expert at. So Marius, thank you very much for hopping on the show.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Gabe.
All right. So again, I told you right before we hopped on here, we always start with stories. So why don't you take us back to your beginning? You came from real estate. How'd you get started in there?
Okay, so I graduated college in 2003. And at that time, this is when the Poor Dad, Rich Dad books were coming out. And I read them and just fascinated me. And so, but I didn't have any money, but I wanted to invest in real estate. So I thought the best way to do it would be to learn how to value them. And so I cold-called a bunch of appraising companies and I got a job as an appraiser for residential. And then I was interested in commercial real estate. So I eventually moved up to appraising commercial real estate. So apartments, office, retail, mobile home parks, mixed use. And then I moved up or became a broker, and I became part of this group that was selling apartments in the Midwest under Marcus and Millichap. And so, and that was from 2003 to 2008, 2009, when the financial crisis came. Literally December 31st, 2008, that was my last day in real estate. And I went full time into stock market investing, most specifically focused on the micro cap stocks, small capitalization stocks. And I started with $10,000. And over the 12 years, I turned it into $7 million, focusing on that area. But you see, I'm talking about the real estate and micro cap space because there's this big misconception between the two crowds. It's kind of like you're either in real estate or you are either in stocks, and people don't understand like that these things are actually connected. And I used the skills from one to help another. You see, people are attracted to real estate because they can control something, they can touch it, they can, you know, leverage it, and they don't see the fluctuations in price. And then they don't like the stock market because they don't have the control, and they don't like the fact that, the prices fluctuate like this. And they say, well, I can get a particular return, 10 cap or a 15 cap return on the real estate, and I can't get this in stocks. It's not comparing apples to apples because whether you are in real estate or in stocks, you are in the business. You are in some kind of business. When you rent apartments, you are in the business of leasing space. When you flip houses, you are in the business of flipping houses. That's your business.
I feel like that's often, we often miss that, is that real estate is a business. I mean, unless you're renting out even single family houses, but most multifamily, you know, four plus, it's a commercial business. You're actually running a business, even though it is tied to real estate.
Right. So just because you can touch something and you can have control over it doesn't mean you're not going to lose money on it. If you mismanage the property, if your property is located in a location that doesn't have a lot of demand, you're going to lose on it. And if you don't take care of your tenants, if you don't fix what they need to be fixed, you're also not going to turn, it's not going to turn out very well for you. And so the same thing is on the stock market side. If you focus on the business and the business does well, and if you don't overpay for that business, you're going to do well. And so why am I talking about a microcap space? Well, because when people think of the stock market, they think of, you know, NASDAQ, they think of New York Stock Exchange, they think of what they see on CNBC. And 99% of people don't even realize that the microcap space exists. And what do I mean by this? It's smaller companies, less than 100 million equity or market cap that are trading on secondary exchanges, which could be like OTC, over the market, Toronto Stock Exchange Venture, or Canadian Stock Exchange. And notice that most of it is like Canadian because we don't have a venture exchange in the US. So a lot of the US companies, if they want to be smaller and be publicly traded, they have to go to Canada to get a listing there, just because US doesn't have that.
Do you know why that is?
Well, the traditional route in the US for companies to go public is to be funded by the venture capital on the private side. And then when they get big enough, then they go straight to NASDAQ or New York Stock Exchange. That's the traditional route. So if you want to get invested in those earlier stories, you have to have a relationship with investment bankers and things like that. But some companies choose a traditional route. In other words, they might want to go public to give investors liquidity much earlier, way before reaching profitability, or maybe they have revenues, but they're not so huge. They can't qualify on NASDAQ because they're too small, or maybe it's too expensive to be on NASDAQ, but they want to give investors liquidity so they can go to Canadian Stock Exchange, TSXV, or OTC. And it's an alternative way. But we don't have an exchange that caters to them, but Canadians do. So a lot of those companies choose to go over there to get that done.
That makes sense. Okay. So you focus specifically on microcap stocks. And the reason is because, I mean, we talked about this right before we got on the show. You really like to be able to dig into the details of the companies.
The main reason is because I have barely any competition. That's the main reason. Think about it from the point of view of selling a house. If you're selling a house, do you want a lot of people looking at your house, or do you want very few people looking at your house?
You want a lot of people.
Yeah, a lot of people, right? And if you're buying a house, do you want a lot of people competing with you, or not a lot of people competing with you?
You want zero people.
Right, exactly. So you see, that's what happens in the stock market, is that people get attracted to stories that are popular, right? So they get attracted to stories that everybody else is attracted to. Well, the probability of getting a good price on that is low. But if you go into a space that has very little competition, because most people in the US have no idea this space exists, the financial industry tells people not to go there because it's too risky, it's penny stocks, don't touch it. And then the hedge funds are too big to go there. And even the retail investors that might know about it, retail investors are busy chasing Bitcoin, Tesla, and AMC. Like, they're not going to go there. So I have very little competition to begin with. But that's number one reason. But then I have to warn people is that just because you have little competition doesn't mean you should buy everything there. 80 to 90% of the companies that are trading there are uninvestable because they don't have any revenues. They're in cannabis. They might be looking for gold and silver. I always joke about it, that on the Canadian Stock Exchange, Canadians are high on marijuana and they're looking for gold. And so when they are exposed to like real companies with real customers, real promising projects, real growth, they're not interested because they're high on pot. And US people don't even know it exists because they're chasing Bitcoin. So that's what I'm looking for. I'm looking for that 10 to 20% of companies that are there, that are real, that have real solutions, real customers, real everything. And that's what I want. I want to get those companies before they eventually graduate to NASDAQ. Because at some point, a lot of those companies, when they become big enough, they do want to get a listing on NASDAQ or New York Stock Exchange because they don't get much respect over there. Nobody cares about them. Very few people care about them. But because of that, I can get a really good pricing on those companies. And when they do graduate to a higher exchange, you know, the repricing happens and I make a lot of money.
Makes absolute sense. And it follows a very similar corollary to real estate in that you have to analyze it and figure out if it's a good deal. And it's not always going to be apparent on paper. So when you go and you look at these microcap stocks, what are you looking for in when you're looking over their P&Ls or anything like that?
Okay, so let me just tie it back to kind of real estate of how it all came about. When I was appraising, especially commercial properties, you would get financials from the owner, right? The P&L from the owner. And you'd look at it and you'd be like, this is a complete lie and fantasy. You know, half of the expenses would be gone. The taxes would be wrong. They would conveniently forget about certain repairs and maintenance, right? Because they want the value to be the highest. So you have to look at it and be like, okay, here's my information. You have to verify it and you have to fill in the gaps. So you have to get on the phone or on the website with the assessor to make sure that the taxes are correct. You have to look at the repairs and maintenance and say, is this even reasonable in comparison to properties of that type? Do they have any capital expenditures in it? So you have to fill in, and also vacancies. Just because the apartment is fully occupied right now doesn't mean there's no vacancy. So you have to, you know, create your own things and reconstruct it. And that's how you can properly underwrite it and properly value it. Same thing with these smaller companies. Yes, those companies have financials on the website or with the regulators. They have wonderful stories on their website that they're going to change the world, cure cancer and all that. Well, you know, you take that information and you want to make sure that it's all correct. So I get on the phone, I research the customers and I call the customers and I'm like, why are you using this company? Why are you using this company versus that company? Are they, you know, a good company to work with? Are there any switching costs
associated with... You call the actual customer of their business.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, okay. Always. I call the customers.
Relates in my mind to when you're looking to buy a property. I always call, I call brokers in the area. I call, I have a whole list, like the police. I call property managers, anybody who has been in contact with this facility. I always call it to make sure that, you know, I'm buying something good, which sounds similar to what you're doing here. You're calling the actual customer to make sure that the customers are having a good experience with the business.
Right. Because if you just talk to the CEO, which, by the way, with the smaller companies, you can actually get the CEO on the phone, where you couldn't get it with the bigger companies. But the CEO, you know, I mean, he's a salesman, right? He's supposed to sell you on the company, which, you know, I appreciate, but they're going to just tell you that, of course, their product is wonderful and the customers love it and everybody's going to sign up for it. Well, you get on the phone with the customers and you really find out if they really like it and you don't have a skewed point of view. And then what about the customers that maybe are former customers? Because sometimes, you know, you'll find people that you think they're a customer. Like, for example, sometimes these companies list a sample customer base on their investor presentation, and they don't think that investors are going to call the customers to see if they're still customers. So I always look at the list and I call, and sometimes you're like, oh, they're not a customer anymore, or, you know, they left. Well, why did you leave? Like, tell me. Or, you know, are you satisfied? And if you're using that service, I want to know if there's any switching costs associated, because I like businesses that it's hard for the customers to switch, or it's so ingrained in their business operation that, you know, it's hard to switch. Or, like, you know, you came from a competitor. Why did you switch from a competitor to this one? Like, you really learn a lot from the customers. And then you also learn a lot from employees. So I go on LinkedIn and I search for former and current employees and I try to get a hold of them. And, you know, the current employees can tell you certain things, but a lot of times they're not going to tell you the dirt on the company. It's the former employees that are going to tell you if the, you know, CEO is an alcoholic, if he's cheating on his wife and he's an idiot. Like, that's when you really find out what's happening within the company. And it's not like I'm looking for a perfect company. Nobody's perfect. We all have flaws. I'm just looking for a true story. Like, what is it that I'm getting myself into? And so then I'll also get on the phone and I will research directors, because public companies have to have directors. And so I'll research the directors. I will look at the former filings from prior years and I'll see which directors are not there anymore. And I'll call the former directors and I'll ask, why did you leave? What happened here? And you do this kind of work, then you know if the company is for real. And with the smaller cap companies, it's more important because there's no analysts covering them. So by this kind of work, you can get an informational advantage. And that's when your efforts, you know, can yield you results. What good would it do for me to do this kind of work on Microsoft? Nothing. Everybody knows about Microsoft. Hundreds of analysts are covering the company. It's a waste of time. But with these smaller companies, oh my God, you can find out so much. And you know, the way the companies present their stories or investment thesis on the website, you might miss it because you know, the lawyers are reading everything to make sure that it's, you know, correct. But when you get on the phone and you start talking, you're like, they explain you the thesis, and a lot of times you might find out the things that you're not supposed to know. But that's part of the due diligence, you know. And it's so much to what you were saying with real estate. You see, recently I was doing a due diligence on a mobile home park in Texas because, now I want to like take some of my profits and diversify it into real estate. So I went to Texas. I drove like 16 hours to Texas to do a due diligence on a 25 unit park. And just like what you said, I went to I met with the owner, and you know, you get one story. But before I met with the owner, I went to the city. I went to the utilities department, to the zoning department, and like it's incredible what happened. It's like what I learned at the zoning department is that the mobile home park had no water. They shut off the water because the owner didn't pay the bill, and the owner was doing illegal work, so they shut him off. Okay, and then
were there still tenants on the property?
Yeah, and I said to these people at the office, I'm like, do you realize that there's tenants living there? And they're like, well, they're not supposed to. Jesus. And so then when I arrived to meet with the owner, of course the owner didn't tell me that they shut off the water. Or that they had I said, how is your relationship with the city? Oh, the city has no problem with us. You know, they help us and all this. And then while I was walking the park, one tenant came out and said, hey, can you deliver me some water? And then, so what I learned from the owner is that he delivers water to the tenants in jugs of water.
Oh my God.
And he was like, oh, we're just, you know, fixing that pipe. It's going to be fixed in a week. Jeez. And it's like, I just talked to the city that they told me that they're like, took their license, they turned off their gas. Like, there's no utilities there. And so, you know, it's like, you have to do this kind of work. In real estate, you have to do this kind of work with, you know, with small companies. And if you do it, you know, you're going to avoid disasters. I mean, not that you're always going to be successful. No, of course. But you're trying to limit your risk. You're trying to know what it is that you're getting yourself.
Just make sure that what you find is reflected in the price. I'm sure that mobile home park, you know, there is a price where it would make sense. You know, if it got down to like $10,000 that he's selling you the park for, it would make sense because then you could just, you know, fix whatever issues with the utility lines.
That's right. But what was interesting about that park, because it was listed for $200,000. Okay, 25.
Oh, it's a great deal.
Yeah, it's a great price, right? So we had to bid it up to 250 to be considered. And then when I went there, after we looked at the park, I've never seen a park that was, it was like World War II. Half of them had no windows. Like, God. So by the time we finished our due diligence, we offered the owner that we would take the park for free. Like, we can take it for free. We can't pay you anything. So we ended up walking away from it. But like, you know, we went from wanting to pay $250,000 to like, no, we're not going to pay you anything because we have to put $500,000 into it to turn it into a livable condition. And it's just not worth putting $500,000 into a park like this that, you know, what can we sell it for? Maybe $600,000? Like, why would we put all this work into it? It just doesn't make sense.
And that is why due diligence is so damn important, you guys. You got to get in there, get dirty, figure out, you know, go talk to the city council or the development center, go talk to the zoning commission, anybody you can talk with. You got to talk with them because you never know what you're going to find. And that is a crazy story. I love hearing good due diligence stories because it kind of reminds everybody that you really do got to get your hands dirty out there. All right. Well, hey, I just took a peek at the clock. Unfortunately, we do have to move on. I loved that story and I like the connection to real estate that you're talking about with small caps. But it looks like we have to move on to the quick question round. I actually didn't give you a heads up. I forgot to tell you about this before we got on the show. We have a quick question round at the very end of every show, and it's pretty simple. We just go through, you know, softball questions. You're not going to have a problem answering them, and you give your best answer as fast as you can. And that's it.
All right.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
All right. It starts with books. I'm a big bookie, so give me two book recommendations, one for general life wisdom and one for real estate specific. Or you can talk about small cap specific if you want.
Because I wrote 10 books, myself on investing, I would recommend my books because I wrote them because there was a missing piece there. I would recommend Why Are We So Clueless About the Stock Market as one book. And then the other one, I would say Scuttlebutt Investor, which is how to do due diligence for small cap companies.
Cool. I love it. And I will put those links, if you shoot those to me after the episode, I'll put those in the show notes. So if anybody listening wants to get a hold of those, go ahead and click the little more in the description. It'll pop down full description. In there will be the links. Moving on is habits. So habits form the foundation of our life. So if you could point to one thing you do day in and day out that you feel contributes the most to your overall health, well-being, and happiness, what would that be?
Not following the crowd, thinking for yourself.
Zig when everybody zags. I love that. All right, next question. And this one is, let's see, for your younger self. So if you could go back to the Marius who had no experience in small caps, no experience in real estate, go back to him, give him one piece of advice moving forward.
Study the businesses and have conviction that you can pick them yourself. Because at the beginning, I would follow the crowd, wanted to feel comfortable with some positions that other people had. From the beginning, I should have just always followed myself and my own convictions.
Yep. Have confidence in yourself. It's really hard to get that until you get more experience, but it is so important to have that confidence and, walk your own stride. All right. Next question. And this one is for your Superman strength, because we all are gifted with unique skills that we alone can contribute to the world. So if you could think of one thing that you specifically are a badass at, it's your Superman strength, what would that be?
Just not giving shit about what other people think about me.
There you go. Walking your own line. Sounds like we got a theme there. I love it. All right. And that rounds it up. So we are on to the last question. And this one is for the listeners. You have given us a lot of good content, a lot to think about when it comes to analyzing properties and due diligence. So I'm sure people out there want to get in contact with you. What is the best way for them to reach out?
Take my impossible name to pronounce, put it into YouTube, and you will find my YouTube channel. I always send people there before, any paid services that I have. Just go to my YouTube channel, listen to some of my videos, and hopefully you can relate or learn from the message that I have there.
Perfect. And I will put Marius's name is going to be in the actual title, so you guys can put that in there. I'm going to spell it out here for those who are just listening. Maybe you're on the road. It's Mariusz, and last name is Skoniecznie. That is why I had such a hard time pronouncing it earlier, but great name. I love it. You got to love Poland. So that concludes it. Marius, thank you very much for hopping on the show today.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Absolutely. And for everybody who's here with us today, thank you guys for showing up. You are the reason we do this. So if you guys have any questions whatsoever, reach out to me, Gabe@therealestateinvestingclub.com. Other than that, hope you guys have a great week. Keep rocking real estate, and I look forward to seeing you on the next episode. Thank you for joining us for another episode of the Real Estate Investing Club. I hope you guys enjoyed the episode and were able to pull some actionable advice that you can go home with and apply to your own investing business. Before you go, I have a gift for you. If you're a new investor looking to get started or an established investor looking to take your business to the next level, I've created an ebook just for you available on the website. This ebook will cover how I was able to create both active and passive income in real estate with very little money to start with. In it, I will address the three most often cited obstacles new and veteran investors run into by showing you how to find a deal that's actually a deal, how to finance that deal with little to no money down, and how to exit a deal for maximum value. And if you get the ebook today, I'm going to bury you in bonuses, 7 of them to be exact. First, you'll get the off-market lead generation blueprint, which will take you through the exact systems and processes we use to generate off-market leads like clockwork, which is the most important skill when it comes to creating real wealth in real estate. Then you'll get the A to Z REI systems and vendors guide, which will allow you to peek under the hood of our business and see the exact tools and systems and even the vendors we use to grow our business. After that, you will get the top 100 best performing keywords pack, which will give you the exact keywords we use to target leads online and generate leads without having to lift a finger. Next, you'll get the contracts bundle for wholesaling and renting real estate, which will give you access to all of the contracts we use
in the field to execute all types of transactions. After that, you'll get the investor's quick analysis calculator and offer tool, which will allow you to quickly calculate whether a deal is an actual deal and will allow you to create an offer automatically from those calculations. Next up, we'll give you the investor's daily success tracker, which is a tracker you can use to ensure you are taking the right actions day in and day out to reach your financial goals in real estate. And finally, you will get the wholesaler's template for quick assignment cash, which will give you the templates we use to present our wholesale deals professionally and efficiently to our buyers. I know that is a ton of things to say. I'm glad you were able to stick with it. So you'll get both the ebook and all of those 7 free bonuses when you download the ebook today. All we charge is the admin cost to run the show. So if you are interested in the ebook and the bonus bundle, head on over to the website at therealestateinvestingclub.com. Click on Get the Ebook Bundle at the top of the page and take advantage of that deal. With that housekeeping item covered, I hope you have an absolutely fantastic day and even better week. Keep rocking real estate, and I look forward to seeing you on the next episode.
All right, before I officially sign off, I have a quick announcement to make. If you're interested in becoming a passive investor in one of my deals, my own company, Kaizen Properties, is looking for capital partners for our upcoming projects. We invest in what are known as recession-resistant assets, mainly self-storage facilities, mobile home and RV parks, and industrial properties. If you're interested in investing and would like to learn a little bit more about my company, our investing criteria, and some of the previous projects we've done, go to the Real Estate Investing Club podcast at therealestateinvestingclub.com and scroll all the way down to the bottom of the page. Click on the Invest With Us button. That'll pop up the investor form. Fill that out and we will reach back out to you as soon as we can. Or if you prefer a little bit more of a personal touch, you can reach out to me at gabe@therealestateinvestingclub.com. So really, that is it. Again, it was a pleasure hanging out with you guys during this episode, and I look forward to seeing you on the next episode.